Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Do something with me for a minute. Put yourself in this scenario. You leave this morning from the church, and the Lord puts on your heart that you would go overseas to become a missionary for the gospel. Okay, now I know that's not my intention for this morning, although if it happens, amazing, incredible. But that's not what we're teaching on. We're not teaching on that this morning. But what if that happened? Think about it for a second. You walk out of here and you have this passion to see the people, we'll say, in Romania come to know Jesus. Yeah, you know. And instead, this is the thing. You know very specifically that you were called to the villages that outlie the cities in Romania, out to the villages of the people of Romania. And that's your calling. And you begin to raise support and get trained, and you begin to learn and grow. And one day God calls you and you go over to those villages. And you begin to preach and teach in those villages. And over time, what happens is you begin to build bonds and relationships with the people that are in those villages. And they become your friends. And you're encouraged. And here's something that begins to happen. People begin to give their lives to Jesus. There's a spiritual transformation that begins in these people that quite frankly, you didn't know what ever happened. You just knew you were supposed to go and preach Jesus, and life change begins to happen. Here's something else that begins to happen. You begin to see the Spirit of God at work amongst them, and miraculous things begin to happen, things you would never, ever, ever have thought could ever happen. And those things begin to happen amongst those villages in the name of Jesus in Romania. Now, one day you're shocked by this, but God calls you to come back home. Come back to Refuge in Huntington Beach and share all the things that he's doing in those villages. So you come back, you don't want to, you'd love to have stayed there and continue to invest in the people, and you come back one day here and you begin to testify. You'll never believe what I saw in the villages in Romania. People are giving their lives to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is at work. Miraculous things begin to happen. You put your slideshow together and you'd be like, hey, that's Bob. And Bob gave his life to Jesus. You'd never believe the background that Bob had. And God began to use him so mightily that people started going to Bob's house, and he started a little Bible study that grew and grew and grew. Now there's a church in Bob's house that meets every week. And you would testify to the work of God in that place until one day you get a letter. And the letter is from Kosti and Elizabeth Keenan, who are missionaries in Romania. And it reads something like this. Dear, and put your name in there. I'm sorry to inform you that after a short visit out to the towns and villages, it appears that the people have stopped meeting together. They have not completely walked away from Jesus, but they have begun to incorporate the old religious practices they grew up with. Also, soon after you left, was a group of people from the local religious group who came and began teaching people that if they want to truly be saved, they have to incorporate this strict religious practices. I'm writing to inform you that everyone is confused as to what they believe and as to what they should believe. One more thing, these religious leaders said terrible things about you and have put doubts about you in other people's minds, about your calling, about your message, about your character. They say that you came with selfish motives and that you are not to be trusted. Best regards, Kosti. Now, can you imagine getting that letter after the calling that God put on your life? You went out and shared to the villages, and people gave their life to the Lord. You saw the Spirit at work. You came back home because God called you to come back home. And now you hear that some people are walking away and are confused about who Jesus truly is. What would you do? Now, I imagine in this moment, in the day we live in, we'd all get in an airplane and we'd fly back over and we'd meet with Bob and all the people and we'd say, hey, let's get things straight. Let's clarify some things. I'm here to answer questions. And remember, I love you guys. We'd probably do that. But in the day and age that Paul in the first century, there is no airplane. So you know what Paul did? He wrote a letter. He wrote a letter. In fact, you're holding that letter in your hands right now. It's Galatians chapter 1. He is going to write a letter to the people who are in the same exact circumstance that we just talked about, where he shared the gospel. He went on his journey, called by God. He went on, and the people began to question, I don't know who to believe here. So he writes this letter that we're about ready to start studying, Galatians. So if you would, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And as you're turning there, if you remember, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 1. If you remember, we studied through Acts not too long ago, and I threw up several times the map that showed Paul's missionary journeys all through a certain region. Now, I want to show you that again this morning, and here's why. I want you to notice how many times Paul visited the region of Galatia and the churches all through the southern part of Galatia. Here's map number one and mission journey number one. So it's the blue line down here. So he starts here in Antioch and he moves around on his missionary journey and he comes up, and here in this region you see is the region of Galatia. And here are the churches down here that he would have visited. In fact, in Acts 13:14, he enters into Galatia. He comes all the way down here to Derby, visiting people. Then he's actually, in Acts 14:23, there's this moment where he gets stoned, and he knows he's got to leave the region, and so they pray and establish elders in this moment over these churches and these gatherings of people that are meeting together for the gospel. So he leaves on missionary journey number one. Now, look at this purple line right here. This is missionary journey number two. He travels. Here's Tarsus, and he moves through. Here he is in Derby. And look where he is again, into this region, missionary journey number two, which is, by the way, in Acts 16:6. Look at this, missionary journey number three. Here he is in Antioch, and he travels through. And look where he goes again, back through these churches. Here's why I want you to see this. Paul knew and loved the people in these churches, spent time with them, developed leaders and elders within these churches. So when he gets information that they may be stepping away from their faith in Christ, how do you think that would affect him? Deeply and passionately. In fact, so much so that he says, I'm going to write you a letter and try to correct some of the wrong thinking that's been taught to you all. I'm going to change the way that these false teachers are teaching you the wrong things. And so that's where we get the letter of Galatians. So if you would, look at chapter 1, verse 1. And listen to the way Paul starts his letter. It says this, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of where? Galatia. There you go. He's starting the letter off, and he's saying, let me make this thing super important to you. He uses the word apostle. Now, why is it so important that he would be considered an apostle? Can I tell you this? It's the same reason if you're going to go have surgery and the doctor says, listen, I'm going to do this surgery on you. You would want to know, what is that doctor's credentials? Have you done the surgery before? Did you study in this specific area where you're going to be doing surgery? I'm just not going to leave myself up for anyone. I need to know your credentials. Same thing too on a lesser scale. If someone's going to come work on your house, don't you want to know, have you done this before? If there's an addition to your house, don't you want to know, have you done additions to houses before? And what's your rating? Are you a 5-star guy or a 2-star guy? I mean, we all want to know that before we give someone money and say, hey, do some work on the house. What are your credentials? Paul's saying, here are my credentials. I'm an apostle. I'm someone who knows Christ and has been with Christ. That's a huge one. In fact, look what he says here in verse 1. My credentials do not come from who? Men, nor did I get them through man, but through who? Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. This is super important for Paul. He's saying, when I came to you, I didn't come with a message that was man-made, and I didn't get sent specifically by men. I come with a message from Jesus Christ, and I've come by the power and the authority of Christ. In fact, he'll say this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which I preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man. Okay, that's interesting. He didn't get this information from man. Nor was I taught it, but came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. To which someone would have said, but Paul, you said when you were with us that Jesus died, rose again from the dead, and ascended to heaven. And at that time, you weren't following Jesus. So, question, when did you get this message from Jesus? And when were you appointed by Jesus to come and bring this message to us? And Paul would have said, oh man, do you got a minute, right? Can I tell you? I am the most unlikely person ever, ever, ever to bring this message. Do you know why? Do you remember why? I was a Pharisee. I was a religious guy, Jewish religious guy. And I knew all the laws and I abided by all the laws and I knew all the history of Judaism. And I'll just tell you, I'm the least likely to be coming as an apostle of Jesus Christ. In fact, there's a moment in my life, Paul would have said, where I hated Jesus. And I actually hated everyone who followed Jesus. The Bible says that he would track Christians down, put them in prison, and even have some killed for believing in Jesus. Think about that. And now he stands before them and says, this message that I gave to you is not from man, but it's from Jesus. And they would have thought, well, when did this happen? When did this conversion that now you follow Jesus and you speak for Jesus, when did that all happen? And he says it actually in Acts chapter 9. Verse 3, here's what it says. As he, and that's Paul, journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? In other words, I'm yours, Lord. What do you want me to do in this moment? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank, as he waits for this message from Jesus. And who brings that? Do you remember the name of the guy that brought the message? Ananias is the guy who brings the message. And here's the message that he brings to him. Catch this. This is important. Acts 9:15. But the Lord said to him, him is Ananias, go tell Paul this message. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before who? Gentiles. You mean Gentiles living in Galatia and all in that region, that Paul will have a message to these non-Jewish people primarily who are worshiping false gods and false idols, and he's going to come with the name of Jesus and lives are going to change. And he says, yes, Ananias, go tell him. His message will be to Gentiles, to kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. All in this man who didn't know Jesus, hated Jesus, and then becomes this apostle who has the credential of apostle, who will recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior and change so many lives. In fact, will write a good chunk of the New Testament that we have today by God's grace and his mercy. He says, I am an apostle. That's my credential. Now, here's his message. Look at verse 3. Here's Paul's message to those churches and those villages and to the people. He says this, Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver or rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now, you know this, grace and peace are a standard greeting from Paul. It is. In fact, five times in the New Testament, you'll hear grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace together. He says it. But can I tell you something? To the people in Galatia, this grace and peace message is so pertinent and relevant. It was not just his greeting. It was actually something that they were struggling with. They were struggling with this understanding of both grace and peace. Grace, what is it? Unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor of God. It's something you and I can't achieve or work for. It's nothing that we even, quite frankly, even asked for. It was something that God gave to us by his grace and by his mercy. And this is the exact issue that they're struggling with in Galatia. And he says, listen, if you understand the grace, now I want you to understand also peace, actually peace with God, that only comes one way, and that's through the cross. It's through the blood of Christ that you and I can live with peace with God. By his grace, we can receive peace. Let me just tell you something, how wonderful this is. To not live another day where you wonder, how does God view me? Does God love me? Does God not like me today? I'm less favorite today because of the things I'm doing. No. Listen, when you understand grace, unmerited favor, I didn't deserve it, didn't earn it, could never, then you can understand peace, that actually every day when I wake up and I'm a follower of Christ, I can know this. I have peace with God. By Jesus Christ, not by my own achievement or works or anything I do, but I can actually live out this life understanding that I have peace with the living God, the one who created all things. Isn't that incredible news? So he's writing to these people and he says, grace and peace, but it's not just a tagline. It's the thing that they're struggling with. In fact, here's what he wants them to understand. Look at verse 4 with me again. Jesus... This is the gospel, by the way. This is the good news. Jesus gave himself for our what? Sins. That actually, I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. Jesus gave his life to cover over my sins so that I could have peace and eternity with God. This is what he says. Let me just start you with this. Jesus gave his life for your sins. And for my sins. Here's what he says in 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. Let me just tell you, the good news. That's what gospel means. The good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are what? Saved. Saved by the gospel. The good news of Jesus dying for you. He says, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you first of all, the idea of first importance, the most important thing. When I came and preached, this was the most important thing I gave you. We might be friends, that relationship would be really good, important to us. This is the most important thing. If you hear nothing else, he says, say, listen to this. This is the most important thing, which also I received. It says this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Important fact number one. And that he was buried. In fact, he died to pay a price for your sins and my sins. And that the most important thing, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. In other words, resurrection demonstrates the power and authority over death, with Jesus as the only one who has that. And demonstrates this, because he rose from the dead, your sins, my sins, they're forgiven. We are washed clean. Paul says this is of first importance. This is gospel. Jesus gave himself for our sins. Then he says, as you go on, he gave himself for what purpose? What does it say? To what? Rescue, deliver us, rescue or deliver us from what? This present evil age, this time that we're living in. But more importantly, from our sins. and to rescue us from our sins. Now, I think sometimes we kind of get this mixed up a little bit because sometimes I think, well, I'm a Christian because I follow the Christian teaching. I'm a Christian because I follow Jesus's teachings. And that's good. That's important. And it's given me a better life. And because I follow Jesus, my life is better. That's all great. But can I tell you that Christianity isn't primarily a teaching or a way of life? It's both of those, but not primarily. Christianity is primarily a rescue operation. It's primarily Jesus coming to deliver and to rescue us from our what? Sins. Not primarily saying this is the method of teaching that Christians do, but because it's a rescue operation and we follow after Christ, here's something that happens. You and I don't live every day wondering, I wonder if we've made God happy today because I'm following in his footsteps and am I okay today, Lord? We don't live with that. Why? Grace and peace. Because we live with the grace of God, knowing that we won't always measure up, but he extends grace to us. And then we have peace with God because of the blood of Christ. So we don't have to live with this understanding of if I don't follow, then maybe I'm not walking with Jesus. Maybe he doesn't love me. God, do you love me today? Do you love not today? Okay. We don't live with that up and down roller coaster. For those that are followers of Christ, they know that they are loved by the living God. In fact, what happens is you and I, we actually become ambassadors of grace and peace. We're actually part of the delivery and rescue plan that God has. In the way that we live our lives with grace and peace, other people see that and think, how do you know that God loves you so much? How do you live with the confidence of knowing that you're walking in the light instead of in darkness? How do you know that? And how do you live with the confidence of God's grace and mercy upon you? We become ambassadors of this mission. In fact, here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says this, now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, through you, through me. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. How? In him. In Christ. And so you and I then walk around as part of this understanding. Every day don't wake up and think, am I okay today, God, with you? Am I okay with you? No, we wake up with like, God, thank you for your grace upon me. Thank you for your mercy over my life. And thank you for the peace that I can have with you. Now I'm an ambassador of grace and peace. And I walk in freedom in that area. And I'll just tell you, follower of Christ, if you're a Christian and a follower of Jesus, and maybe you have been for some time, you and I, sometimes we live with this as like, we kind of just take it for granted. Like I kind of just always feel and have confidence, God, we're okay because of the blood of Christ. But it's good for us sometimes to remember back, why am I okay again? Why can I use the word grace freely? And why do I understand this understanding of peace with God? Oh, it's good for me to understand the cross and who Jesus is. In fact, I thought there's three freedoms that we live with as ambassadors of grace and peace. And if you're one of those, you live with this freedom. The first one is this, freedom and delivery from the weight and the shame of sin. Freedom and delivery from the weight and the shame that comes along with sin. Now, we still sin. That's a reality. But we know what to do with that sin. We know where we take that sin. Where do we take it? To the cross, to the feet of Jesus. And we lay it before him and we say, listen, I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I need repentance and I need to turn from those things. And we have some place to take it. So the weight of that sin and the shame of that sin doesn't hit those that are followers of Christ. Not that we don't sin, but we know where to take that sin. But if you don't know Christ, then you do live with that. The weight and the shame that comes along with sin. The second thing we have the freedom and delivery from is the weight of religious rules that we could never live up to. In other words, if I go here and I sign up to be a part of them, that means I've got to do this, 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 and this. And we're saying, listen, break free from those things and just put your faith and trust in Christ alone. It's not Jesus plus rules. It's Jesus alone. And you and I get the blessing of knowing that truth. That we live in this freedom of like, okay, I'm yours, Jesus. You're going to, by your Spirit, guide and direct me, and by your word, the areas I should go and should not go. I don't need a bunch of rules and regulations. I just need to put my faith and trust in Jesus and follow after him. Here's the third thing that you and I get the blessing of. Freedom and delivery from sins that, so the Bible says, so easily entangle us. That we get caught up in things that, you know, God would not have us do, but we have power over those things. In the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we actually have power over those sins that would so easily entangle us. And can I just tell you, this is the free life. This is given to us by the living God. His grace and his mercy to be untangled by these things and just to focus on Jesus alone. And this is incredible truth. And I just want you to see it, because Paul's writing to them and saying, are you really going to choose something other than this? That Jesus dies on a cross for you and he gives his life to you so that you could have grace and peace, and you're thinking maybe there's something else that we got to add to that? He's saying, be careful of that. You are a grace and peace ambassador. Now, I want you to see this because I think this is so important. Look at the very end of verse 4. He says this, all this that we just talked about is according to the will of who? God and Father. Think about this. All this sounds so great and so good, Jeff. Is it really true? And he's saying, it's not only really true, but it is the will of God. Think about that. You mean God wants me to understand that it is by his grace alone that I'm saved? Let me get this understanding. You want me to understand God wants me to know that I can live in peace with him? Okay, wait a minute. Does he know me? Does he really know me? And then the person that I once was, and maybe the person I am today, and you're saying, it says right here, that this all is about the will of God, that he's drawing us into relationship, that this living God wants to have a relationship with me, even though I'm sinful and fallen and broken and lost, that actually he desires, the God who created all things, desires relationship, and it's by his will that Jesus gives his life for me on the cross. Take a look at this. You know this passage. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever what? Believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the little known verse 17, check it out. Super important to understand. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. This is the will of God. This is him. It's not. It is the will of God that you would come to walk and know him. And that Paul's writing to this group of people saying, come on, this is God's will, why I came to you. And when we understand all of these things, look at verse 5. This is where Paul comes to. He says, to him, to the living God, to whom be glory forever and ever. In other words, this brings him to this moment of worship, of saying, God, you are good. The will of God draws us into grace and peace with him. And now he's saying to the people, live out of this. Look at verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in what? The grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Listen, you have started believing a false truth. And he's warning them and he's saying, I marvel. I'm amazed at. Why would you? I thought about it in our home. Sometimes we do these family meetings and my wife and I will have some things that we want to share with the family. And more than one occasion, I've been like, hey, listen, if you use a dish, you just wipe the dish out and you put it in the dishwasher. That's super simple. Use a dish, wipe it out, put it in the dishwasher. Or here's another one. If you go into a room and you bring something into that room, take it back out of the room and put it where it goes. Anybody ever done that before? Maybe with a roommate or someone, like, let's just put some house rules here. It lasts literally maybe a week. And we are back to where we were before. We're back to dishes being stacked up, things left out in rooms. I'm feeling like, this is Paul. I marvel at you not understanding. Is it my words or what is it? I don't know. I just envision Paul saying, listen, I marvel that you so quickly turn. Look at this. This is so, I think this is important. Not away from me, even though we built strong relationships when I was with you as I traveled through Galatia, not that I'm, and it does hurt a bit that our relationship is strained over this, but specifically, more importantly, look what it says. I marvel, verse 6, that you are turning away so soon from who? From him. Him, the one who died for you on the cross. The one who gives you the grace and the peace. I marvel that you would choose something other than him so quickly as I've left the region. In fact, what he says here, verse 6, you've turned to a different gospel, and then he clarifies, which is not a gospel at all. This good news is not good news when you tack something else onto it. In fact, verse 7, he says, it's actually a perversion of the gospel. It's marring the gospel. What's the gospel? It's simple. Keep it simple. It's Jesus Christ, death on a cross, his resurrection, and his payment for your sins. Don't go further than that. Don't tack on then other things to the gospel. And he's saying, be careful, because that's not the gospel at all. In fact, faith plus works is not a, in fact, it's a danger. It's dangerous, as we'll see here. In fact, this is what Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of what? His great love, which he has, he's loved us, loves you. Even when we were dead in trespasses, in other words, we had no life, it was flatlined, we had no chance. He said, even when you and I were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And here's how he did it. Listen, it's going to sound familiar. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Can I just tell you his exceeding riches of grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus? And it says very clearly, for by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should say, well, I followed all the rules perfectly, even though that would be a lie, right? I follow the rules. I'm a good person. I've earned my way. When I get to those quote unquote pearly gates, someone's going to say, hey, I was a good person. I donated money. I gave things to people. I was a great neighbor. I was a good son to my mom. And here I am, Lord. And he's going to say, lest anyone should boast or come with a resume that says, here's why I can get into heaven. He says, no. This is a gift. This is the gift of God in Christ Jesus, trusting in him, walking with him. And he's saying to the Galatians, be careful that you don't lose that understanding of who you are. In fact, when we add something to the gospel, can I tell you this? We diminish the gospel. We diminish the cross. And we diminish the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Because we say, well, Jesus, thank you. That's great. But I also, you know, I'm a good person too. And you know I'm faithful and going to church. And you know I read my Bible. So I know I'm getting in because I've also added some things to you, Jesus, which diminishes the power of the cross. And we need to be people who lift up high the cross and the name of Jesus. And we say very clearly, there's only one way. It's by God's grace unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. We don't want to be people who add things to the cross. Now, I had somebody come up to me on Saturday night, and she said, and she was right, she's like, well, you know, grace isn't free. And I said, you're totally right. It was paid for on that cross by Jesus. Grace is not free. And she said, you know, also, we need to walk with Christ, and there needs to be some obedience. And I said, totally true, absolutely true. In fact, we want to walk and follow in the footsteps of Christ, but we're not saved by what we do. We're saved by the cross alone. And here's the other thing. We had a great discussion. She said, listen, here's the thing. We just don't get to do whatever we want. And that's totally true, because sometimes Christians may fall into this danger, and the Bible talks about it, is that, hey, I can do whatever I want because I have God's grace. And grace covers over those multitudes of sins, and I can just keep walking and doing whatever I want to do. And Paul actually addresses this problem, because someone was like, well, so then let's just keep sinning that what? Grace may abound. And what does Paul write? He says in Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? To which Paul famously says what? Certainly not. What? No. Right? That we're still following in the footsteps of Christ, but we are saved by grace alone. Saved by grace alone. Now, I want you to see, and here's where we'll close this morning. Verse 8. Paul writing this letter, he's seen that people have come in and they've taught a false gospel. Some people are wondering, what do we really believe? He'll address that more in Galatians, but here's what he has to say to those people, those false teachers. Verse 8, but even if we, and he puts himself on the line here, notice this. He says, listen, even if we, me or my ministry team, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, he repeats himself again because he's giving emphasis to this. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Listen, if anyone comes from my team, if I came back and I said, well, actually, it's Jesus plus something else, he says, let me be accursed. Even if an angel comes, by the way, the enemy could come as an angel of light, be deceptive. He said, if an angel shows up at your door and starts preaching something other than the grace of God and the peace of God, then he says, be careful. He says, let them be accursed. The word is anathema. It's like, let them be destroyed. Let them be brought to destruction. Why is it so important? Because eternity hangs in the balance over this gospel that we're talking about and that Paul is writing to the people about. And as we study through Galatians, the gospel and grace and freedom in Christ is essential. So essential that he says, let them come to destruction. In fact, Jesus was this serious about it. In fact, this is what Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 6. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe, and little ones could mean little ones, or oftentimes or occasionally Jesus will say disciples as little ones, whichever it is. In this context, there's little ones around him. He says this, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus was pretty serious about someone being drawn away from him by false teachers. Let me just tell you, Paul is equally as serious. He says, anathema, may it be destruction upon them if they lead someone away from the gospel of grace. Now, here's why, here at Refuge, one of the lines that you'll often hear Pastor Bill say, or me say, or any one of us say, is this. It's all about who?
Jesus.
And it's not just a tagline. It's a reality that our focus in all that we do, from preaching to teaching, from all of our ministries, is that let's keep the main thing the main thing. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, don't get off of this. The gospel of grace. The gospel of Jesus who died for your sins. Listen, let's not lose sight of who we truly are in him and go off some rabbit trail where we start adding things to the gospel of grace. Paul says, stay centered and stay focused. Now, I told you that I would tell you to remind me if I forgot about the name tags. I'm not forgetting them. I remember them now. And so here's what I want us to do. Here's a cool thing. You were known for a little bit this morning with the name and the conversation, and hopefully someone said your name and asked you some questions, and you got known by them. But here's the reality. God knows you better than anyone in this room or anyone on the face of this earth knows you. And here's the incredible thing. There's a line that says, to know them is to love them. That's not always true, by the way. It's not always true. But here's the incredible reality. God fully knows you and fully loves you. I don't know how many people could say that about us. Fully to know every detail about us, all the bad, all the good, and then fully love us. But can I tell you this morning that God fully knows you and fully sent his son to die on a cross for you. It was his will to offer you both grace and peace. And this morning as you walk out, and there's a cross right there as you're walking out, I want you to take your name tag off. And I want you to just kind of ponder that reality for a second. That you are both fully known and fully loved by the living God. So much so, and the reminder of that cross is really to tell us that he would send his son to die on a cross for you and for me so that we could experience the endless riches of his grace, increasing measure, and that we could say, listen, I can wake up tomorrow morning and know that I'm at peace with God. I don't have to wrestle with that reality anymore. I can just live with the confidence of knowing that I am in him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the reality of your grace and of your peace. And I know this morning and all this weekend, there's probably someone coming who's never heard this about God before, about you before. Lord, that you actually love us and care for us and desire relationship with us. That you don't want us to live on continual pins and needles with you. In fact, you've answered that question by sending your son to die on a cross and to pay for our sins. Lord, I pray for anyone this morning maybe who's considering, thinking about, pondering through. Lord, would your spirit just fall upon them even now, Lord, and would they call out on the name of Jesus? Would they trust in him and put their faith in him and their confidence not in themselves, not in them somehow earning a spot, but Lord, because of it's a gift of God, your grace is a gift. Would they extend out their hand and trust in you, we pray. And Lord, for those followers of Christ that are also here this morning, as we looked at those freedoms that we have in you, things that maybe we've taken for granted, as we ponder over those things, may we rejoice and delight in that calling that you put upon our lives. Sinners saved by grace. And may we rejoice. May that carry us today and this week and this coming month. And as we study through the book of Galatians, may we be just overjoyed at the freedoms that we have in you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.